Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Shock Therapy Live.
The last one for a while.
Yeah, dude. We're taking a break for the summertime.
Yeah.
Summertime.
Yep.
We're taking, we need a summer break too.
We really do.
Yeah.
So, gonna be taking a break.
So we're actually just not gonna be in Albuquerque at all for 3 months.
For 3 months. Good. We're just gone. Oh, man.
I'm excited.
We've got animatronic robots to cover the morning show.
It's gonna be good.
I've got a clone.
Like a Ben Reilly clone?
Yeah.
I have a twin.
You have a twin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoa. Man.
Is okay. His name Neat?
His name's Hathaniel Neitzig.
Oh, Hathaniel.
Hathaniel
Neitzig.
They call
him Hate. And yes. He is the darkest timeline version of you.
He is.
Oh, man. Be awful.
Yep.
Be awful. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The ironic thing is he's a really nice guy.
Until he stabs
with
you.
The name like Hate.
He has claws, though.
Hate Neitzig.
Hate Neitzig.
Can we please create this character?
Yes.
That sounds so awesome.
Hate Neitzig.
Hate Neitzig. This is a good one.
He
should
just
done something.
He should be really misunderstood. He should be like,
could we
his
get,
name's Hate.
Could we get a could we get a Marvel author to write a character arc for me?
Absolutely.
Steve-O will call up Cullen Bunn and see if he'll
I'll
do
just
it.
Call him up. He's currently doing the anti-hero.
Or that lady, whatever her name was.
Oh, Marjorie Liu.
Yeah.
Yes. We've met a few comic writers recently. What is going on here?
And we want to meet more at that Ace thing.
Yeah, we really do. The Albuquerque Comic Expo coming in June. So there's a lot of guys coming. James Robinson, who is currently writing Earth 2. He's going to be here.
Hey, is that screen new?
Yes, HD.
Mm.
So now we can watch you in all your HD glory during services.
There it is.
Yeah. It's nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Also, this program that we're currently watching, it's a blank screen.
It's
in
my
3D.
Favorite show.
HD 3D right here.
That's right. There you go. It is Shock Therapy Live.
Oh my gosh.
1 hour therapy session.
That black screen. So you guys saw Lego Movie, I'm sure.
Okay. Of course.
Dude, I love the Batman song.
Dear.
Darkness. No parents.
It comes out, I think, next week. I can't wait. My wife didn't get to see it. I took the boys.
It's on iTunes right now.
Yeah, dude. That movie.
Dude. Batman.
You know
Batman
sequel.
Batman was so funny. He was the best role
Will Arnett.
Oh, my gosh.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Hey, babe, this isn't a workout. Sometimes I need the freedom to just go on crazy parties with people I don't know.
Yeah, I loved that it kind of catered to the parents and to the kids,
well, that's
but
what,
not in like a lame way.
My wife and I watched it with Daniel and Leanne Lusko.
Okay.
And we got done with it. We're like, okay, even if the kids weren't here, we would have watched that movie without
them. Totally.
So funny.
So good. They did a great job. So
Will Ferrell was great.
Dude, this is our last STL for the summer.
I know.
Everybody,
man,
you know, people
STL,
are getting out of school.
Hashtag FML.
We should be playing a Nelly song right now. He was from the STL.
It's getting hot in here.
So damn.
I thought it was from Hotlanta.
So, no, he's from St. Louis.
I didn't know that. Nelly.
Yeah, dude.
Boom. There you go.
He was number one.
All right.
We have a lot of questions that we haven't gotten to.
We really do.
Because I've been gone for a lot.
We thought, okay, look, we wanted to get through some of the questions that you guys have had. We don't want to leave you hanging, but we are taking a break. We're taking a hiatus. It is summertime. People out and about, and you just never know with summer what our schedules are going to be like. Teo and I are working on a Team Awesome Morning Party road trip currently.
What?
So we could be broadcasting in your city sometime soon, so you never know. A lot of stuff going on in the summer, so we thought, hey, let's rock our Shock Therapy Live and go out with a bang.
Boom.
For now, we'll be back in the fall, but
bang,
if you have questions, if you'd like to hang out with us, now is your time, peeps. Now is your time. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We also have a laundry list of emails that we need to get to. So we will do that.
Yeah.
But what do we got?
First of all, we have a cool, we always love to hear little praise reports from people that got touched by the show. We got a cool
Absolutely.
Call an email saying, hey, I would so ring you guys right now to say thanks, but I think you might be asleep. I live in Australia.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much for answering my question and getting the director to give his advice. I will definitely take that on, and I know just what to do now.
Thank you.
So that was the girl who wrote in, remember, about wanting to take a role, and she wondered if, you know, how she should address that. And so she just wrote in, and she also actually has another question in addition to that, so I figured we could take that.
Okay.
She said, sorry, I keep emailing in, ha ha ha. I just keep listening to all the podcasts, and it's making me think heaps. I was just listening to you guys talking about basically being a light in the darkness and stuff like that, and I just thought I would share a bit of what I've been doing to maybe help. Oh, it's not a question. Do we want to read this? Do we want to go to the next one?
Sure. I mean, I don't care. Why not? We're just talking about how we love praise reports.
All right.
Praise.
I was just like, I was like preparing my heart for a question.
There you go.
And then it was a praise report.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
Okay.
I'm gonna lift my hand.
So I'm in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend who lives in England, and we are both Christians. We have been dating for 4 years now, although not as much now as I moved to Australia a few months ago. Ha ha ha. A couple of months ago, I was working as an extra in a TV ad. This meant there was a lot of free time waiting around with other extras and talking. All the girls I was waiting with were very confident, and soon enough, we were all talking about personal things. Then the topic of sex arose. We were sat in a circle, and they were taking it in turns to talk about their sex lives. I found this gross, because it didn't settle in me, and I felt shaken up by the Holy Spirit, knowing it was so wrong. But I knew better than to just blurt out that they were sinning, as they are in the darkness and would think I'm some weirdo. Plus, that isn't loving at all. So, it was my turn to talk, but I didn't talk about my sex life, as I don't have one. Instead, I started off with, well, I'm in a long-distance relationship. We are both Christians and are saving sex before marriage. I miss him so much, though. It's so hard. They were more interested in our love for each other and how on earth it is working when we were opposite sides of the world. There was only one answer I could give, and that was, well, we had God. All their faces were very thoughtful, and the subject moved on from sex to love, and they asked me more and more questions about me and my boyfriend. I explained about how we trust God and love each other so much as friends that we respect each other too much. They could not get their heads around it, because the world doesn't really understand where love comes from or what it is. And I felt honored that God had put me there to plant some seeds.
Wow.
I just want to encourage people to pray for opportunity to talk to people more about God's love using their own stories, as this really draws people in and makes them think. Thanks
Fantastic
for reading.
Fantastic story. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I love hearing stuff like that. I'm reading a book right now that our boy Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention mm-hmm. gave to me. He's a fan of Groeschel. You probably read it. I think, you know, we talk about him regularly. It was his favorite book, and it's been a great read and great reminders. The Christian Atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Reading it right now. I got it on Friday, and I'm almost done with it, 'cause it's just captivating. It's a fascinating read.
It's my coffee shop read.
Gosh, it's so good, man. It's so good. Definitely trying and convicting at times, because there's, you know, we all have things in our lives.
Yeah.
And so one of them actually was prayer, and I was reading the prayer chapter last night before bed, and it was that reminder that not that we have to constantly have these pious, crazy prayers, but she's right. We should be praying about everything, including just the minute conversations that we have at a coffee shop, because it might not be minute.
Well, man, let's talk about that. Even this concept of the Christian atheist. How many times, you know I've personally been convicted that I've been involved in a conversation or overheard a conversation where I felt that call, like, man, this isn't right. I should say something. But for the sake of, you know, being politically correct or for being not offensive or non-judgmental, we just keep our mouths shut.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that brings up a good point. You know, at what point, where's that line for when we as Christians should step up and say something and say what we believe and say how we feel, and, you know, share our heart? You know, where is that line?
It's a great comment, a great question. And, well, you know, there's so many places we can look in Scripture, thinking of how we are called in Colossians to be gracious to the outsider. You know, make sure that our tongue is seasoned with salt. But knowing how we ought to answer each person, I think that's where prayer does come in. Knowing how to give an account or give an answer to somebody, because every single conversation is going to be different. And I like that, because when you go in with this cookie cutter mentality where you're just trying to, like, save some, quote unquote, by having, you know, your gospel track and this cookie cutter message in your mind, Every single human being is different, and they'll respond differently. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, rather than some cookie-cutter thing you've prepared, God can do so much more than you can, I promise. And it's that incredible reminder that we, with these conversations, I'm going through the book of James right now. And in fact, guest teaching this weekend on James chapter 3, and it has been very convicting because it's all about the tongue and the power of the tongue, the damage of the tongue, but also what the tongue can do in positive ways. Because, gosh.
I'm going to give you a sermon title.
Okay.
Because I was almost going to, I want to do a sermon series, just call it Blockbusters or in Theaters.
Uh-huh.
And all the movies that are currently in the theaters. And I was going to do one on How to Train Your Tongue and call it How to Train Your Dragon.
Dude, that's.
Right?
That's
really
good.
That's a good sermon title for that.
Sermon.
How to Train Your Tongue.
Because when we think of our tongue, it's not just those, as you said, those times where you're in conversations, you might not even be saying anything, but it's what you're not saying because you're just kind of either you don't know how to approach it, or maybe you just don't want to make it awkward, or maybe you just, whatever the reason
is. You know, I think that's the key. You said if you're in a conversation, though, I think my policy is don't water down the gospel.
Right.
If you're in a conversation with somebody, say how you really feel. I think a lot of Christians end up lying because they're not saying how they really feel. And so they go to this, I don't want to be judgmental, to the extreme degree, and they just don't really share how they feel, and that's wrong.
Right.
You know, it's the sin of omission.
Yeah,
you know,
because
to that point.
The other person in the conversation, they're sharing their heart. They're telling you how they feel.
Now, what you don't want to be is that snoop who you're sitting in the front seat of an airplane, and you hear two people behind you talking about, you know, their gay friend, and you poke your head over, well, this is what I think.
Very true.
You don't want to be that dude.
No, you don't, because you inserted yourself into their
conversation. But if you're
conversation,
in a conversation, you know, I think she did exactly what she should. They were in a group, a circle, talking about their sex life, and she said, it came my turn, and I was able to share really what I believe.
Right, and it wasn't a condemnation on them. It was what God has done in her life. So it was to a positive point where they were all intrigued and interested in this love that she has for her God.
Well, notice what she said. She didn't say, you guys shouldn't have sex.
Right.
She said, I'm not having sex.
Right. This is the
You know, it's not about you. It's about me. This is what I believe. This is what I do. Yeah.
That's the perfect example of being seasoned with salt and not being overbearing, salty, going to ruin the flavor salt. You know what I'm saying? Because she's totally what you guys are saying. She didn't bring it out with, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And here's why. It was totally, this is what I'm doing. And then they were like, well, wait, why?
Right.
You know, and then she got to actually share her heart. Why? What's the motivation? Well, why do you believe that? And then you're in a real conversation with people. And they want to know what you think and why you think that.
Absolutely.
That's a totally different method than walking up and saying, hey, here's this.
Yeah.
You know, or like shoehorning in, like sticking your head between the seats saying, gay is wrong.
Right.
I heard y'all talking about gays.
We're talking salt on French fries, not salt on snails.
Exactly.
There you go. That's
good. That's a good point. That's a good like object. You need to show your kids that. This is what it's like when we do this. This is
here's
what
Seth,
it's like.
Eat this French fry. Is that good? Okay, now watch this.
Now eat it. You eat it, Seth. Eat that.
That's sin.
Oh man!
Wait, that was the wrong.
I feel like
salt is supposed to be sin.
This is why I'm not
the
a parent.
Wrong.
This is why
illustration.
But it's true. It's amazing. And going along with what we're talking about with our words and with our tongue, it's not just that sin of omission and not saying something. There are many ways that our tongue can get us in trouble. I'm studying this, whether it's gossip, which is a killer, a flattering tongue can also be a killer. Maybe you're just saying things in a conversation because you want to keep it PC. And so you're not being true to God. You're not being true to yourself, but you're just saying these kind of flattering things because you want people to like you and you don't want to disrupt this conversation that you're having.
Yep.
That's sin as well. Yep. I mean, there's so many ways.
Tongue.
Yeah, absolutely.
A pierced tongue, that hurts.
Well, I never got that, man. Just this bar in your mouth.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, man. How's
can't go because I've got something in my
clink,
tongue.
Clink, 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 clink. You're like, what?
All the people have pierced tongues right now, just turn the radio
off. Yeah, they're mad at me.
Stupid Steve-O with his tattoos.
I had my labret pierced, and that was enough for me to be like, I couldn't do it.
I had my nips pierced.
Shut up.
Just joking. Like I didn't
we could use that to witness the people.
Here's the
didn't
sad
actually
thing.
Do that.
I didn't bat an eye. I was like, okay. Yeah, I believe it.
No.
All right.
No. I don't want anything touching those, let alone needles.
Oh, man. Amazing. And again, back to the tongue. This is what you say. And, you know, I'll never scrub that out of my brain. So
the newest
bro.
Thing from Portlandia.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right. And I was giving you the cue.
You were, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, talking body modifications. There's some crazy stuff going on in this world right now with body modifications. Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about.
Different thing.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Let's go on to another question. We got an actual question here. Hey, guys, I recently had a friend bring to me... Okay, I hate bad grammar. I recently had a friend bring attention to something that I don't share my life as a sister in Christ should. Okay, this is confusing. However, this was said after the week I came to my two friends when my mom was admitted to the hospital. I didn't say much, but just being there with them made everything seem better. But it seems like to them, unless I'm actually talking, I'm not sharing my life with them. I don't normally have friends or sisters in Christ to share my life with. And now I'm feeling excluded by the two friends that I do have. How do you handle trials with friends? Thanks for all you do. You are awesome. P.S. Thanks for having Memphis May Fire on NMT.
Okay.
Yay.
You're welcome.
We played a band.
Oh.
So, had a friend...
So, I think what happened is her mom was in the hospital, and she had her two friends come hang out with her at the hospital.
Okay.
Her two friends got mad at her for not sharing her life and not talking. And she says, well, by me having you at the hospital was me sharing my life with you. And I needed someone who was just there, maybe, not someone to talk to.
Right.
And so she wants to know how to handle disputes with friends.
This is a tough one because we're talking about females and sharing.
Yeah, I think dogs make better friends sometimes.
Remember how we were just talking about the tongue
they
and gossip? Gossip's one thing I have a really difficult time with. And not saying that it's just a female problem because we all have that gossip problem.
I know. Whenever you talk to me about Matt, it really makes me feel uncomfortable.
It tends to rear its ugly head, in situations like this where... There's the oversharers, there's the undersharers, and this situation seems like she just wanted her friends to be near her. Your friends sound like jerks. I'm sorry. They sound like Job's friends, where you needed a comfort and you needed friends to be there and just to be around you while your mom is sick in the hospital, and your friends are getting upset with you because you're not sharing your life. I don't know. I have a hard time, which is funny because I talk a lot, but half the time I'm not really saying anything. Does that make sense? Because when it comes to friendship, there's not I don't share deep personal things with everyone, nor should you.
Yeah.
I know there's that mentality where there are different denominations, there are different people who believe you should just be an open book to everyone always, and there are times where that can get you in trouble because there's not wisdom there. You need to use discernment when sharing with someone. And so the idea of friends getting angry at you because you don't share enough about your personal life, I don't know how to approach that.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like a cop out to me. Why? I don't know. Like maybe they were like, well, we'll get her in here and she'll say everything they need to say and then we won't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What were your friends searching for and what were they wanting to acquire from you?
Yeah.
Like, what knowledge did you need to share? What in your life are you not sharing? Now, if you're being closed off and just like, I don't want to talk about anything, I just want to be here. That's one thing, but you're sitting in a hospital where your mother is sick. I mean, what do you share? What do you need?
You know, but I have maybe this is just a difference between guys and girls.
Maybe.
For me, good friends are friends who I don't have to talk to.
Yes!
Like, I love having friends that I can just sit on a couch and not feel like I have to have a conversation and be telling stories and talking about what happened in your day.
Yeah.
But we can just shut up and sit on a couch for like 2 hours and not feel the need to have a conversation.
Right. Just be comfortable.
Watch a TV show. Hang out. Yeah, play some video
games.
My
idea of friendship is not having to have a bunch of fake conversations with people.
Right.
That's not my idea of friendship.
Right, exactly. That's so I get, and we're three dudes sitting in here. So
okay,
it's like,
so they're at the hospital. This is this girl's mom, or this is one of the other girls'
moms? This girl's
moms?
Mom was in the hospital sick, and she had her two friends come hang out with her, and her friends were like, hey, you don't share.
They were upset that she wasn't talking, and her mom was in the hospital sick.
She said she had a friend recently bring to her attention that she doesn't share her life as a sister in Christ should.
That's stupid. That's the worst thing to say to a friend whose mom is in the hospital right now.
Her big question is, how do you handle trials with friends? And so...
Job, go read it.
Now, I could understand how the friends could get frustrated, because it sounds like the friends didn't come to the hospital. So she says, however, this was said after the week that I came to my two friends when my mom was admitted into the hospital.
Okay.
I didn't say much, but just being there with them made everything seem better. So it could have been a situation where she's like, hey, can we talk? You know, I'm having a hard time. Sure, let's talk. Okay, I'm going to come over. And then she comes over and they're like, so what's going on? Oh, I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you come over here?
Or if she didn't share, I will share this. About a month ago, I got a phone call from my mom who had to take some crazy tests because they weren't sure, and there's potential for cancer, and there's, you know, these like gnarly things were going on in her life. I haven't even told you this yet. Right. So
how could you not tell? You never talked to me.
I told my wife, and then my family, we all prayed about that. And the cool thing is she did all these, you know, scans and did some things, and everything came back clear, and it turned out it was some sort of like bronchial infection or something. No bigs. I did not jump on Facebook, one, because I don't have a Facebook, or anywhere and say, hey, prayer warriors out there, I need everybody praying for my mom right now, because the more the merrier. It was a deeply personal thing that she didn't want everybody knowing. She just asked for prayer. So I would ask, hey, can you guys pray for my mom? Stuff's going on. Mm-hmm. I did not overly share that. And maybe some people would say, well, you know, that's a lack of caring or a lack of sharing. But there are some personal things in your life. Maybe she didn't need to share that her mom was in the hospital the week before.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, at the same time, now, not even chicks. Now, let me ask you this.
Sorry.
If I were to call you and say, hey, bro, I'm having a really hard time. Can we meet up and hang out?
Heck yeah.
And then, while we were hanging out, you're like, man, so you're having a hard time. What's going on? I was just like, yeah. No.
Unspoken.
Yeah.
Unspoken.
You know, because I purposely called you.
Right.
Because I was having a hard time. So in that moment, you kind of feel like, okay, you called me saying you're having a hard time and you wanted to meet with me. But if you can't let me, you know, I can understand this because it sounds like they're all Christians. So I think her sisters in Christ are kind of at a place where they might be like, you know what? I genuinely do want to help you through the situation. I want to be your sister in Christ, but you're not letting me be your sister in Christ. You're not letting me bear your burdens.
Yeah.
You know,
that could be true.
That
I wish we could get an email from the other people involved.
Yeah, right?
Like,
that's not what happened here.
Yeah. Do what?
Yeah. Mediation here?
Better understanding of the situation. Because it really does. Trials with friends. I don't know. How do you handle trials with friends?
Yeah.
I think trials with friends, honestly, they work themselves out. The trials that I've had with friends in my life haven't been something where it's been like, man, this is how we solved it. It always just kind of works itself out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if someone has wronged you, Matthew 18, you go to that person in love and you can talk to that person. So how do you handle this situation? Maybe if they're making you feel uncomfortable, speak to them about that thing. You're talking about not sharing enough of your life. What would look to them like a sister in Christ? What do they want from the relationship? I mean, maybe you hash it out.
You know, another good option is to go on Facebook and ambiguously vent about people. Hoping that they read it and they're like, oh crap, that's me that they're angry at.
I have like four fake profiles and I just rant and cuss about everything in this world.
Yeah. And a good way to start it out, don't use names, just say, I really hate it when people do this, and just say the exact situation and hope that they read it.
And tag your friends.
Dude,
tag them in it.
I'm Nate, we were talking, a study came out that people that generally share more like TMI info on Facebook.
Right.
It's like studies are coming out, and I don't know why they're studying Facebook, but it's probably the best picture we have into humanity ever.
Right.
Which is sad. But the more people share, like
overshare
information, the more it proves that they are just a lonely person. Mm-hmm. And you would think that, I guess they think sharing more and more will help them, you know, connect with people, but it isolates them further.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We all have that friend who shares way too much, you know, personal info on Facebook.
And what you learn is you never talk to that person about anything you're going through ever.
And then the next battle is you're sitting there going, where is the unfriend button?
Well, no.
Where is it?
There are certain people that I see their Instagram and Facebook posts and I say, okay, note to self, never share anything personal in your life with that person ever. Ever. Unless you want all of their Facebook friends knowing about it.
Nate, it was one time, okay? I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate, Mateo, we're hanging out with you for the last time until fall. So if you want to get a question in, now's your time. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. We also have a lot of emails we need to get to. You can email us studio@mystaticradio.com. What's next?
Oh, I thought we were taking a break.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to take a break?
I don't know. Should we take a break? You're always the one who gives me a hard time. I'm like, hey, sorry, we got to take a break. Okay, it's blah, blah, blah.
We can take a break if you need to take a break.
Dude, I'm going on Facebook and talking about this.
Potty
this
break,
stupid.
This is just terrible. Gosh.
I've got this friend who always gives me a hard time about taking breaks, and he doesn't want to take breaks, and I hate it.
I just wish he'd be a friend.
Will someone comment on what I should do in this situation?
Like this status if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, man. Double tap.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Like his little comment.
#STL.
Yeah, dude. Mm. Keep it going. There you go. We're going to take a quick break. Coming right back. More emails and more of your thoughts. Chime in. Hang out with
so
us.
So stupid.
505-338-3700.
I quit.
Shut up. Shock Therapy Live. Static Radio.
This is The Wire.
Hope in Christ Church will be hosting a free concert featuring the Ember Days. It's Wednesday, June 11th at 7 p.m. Hope in Christ Church is located at 1605 Wantabo Boulevard Northeast, Suite R. For more information about the concert or the church, check out hopeinchristnm.com.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mysteticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
You've got to seize those opportunities for personal intimacy. There's a principle. Just as Jesus was only going to be alive before his death and burial, 1 week, Mary knew he was going to the cross. Mary takes care of this, sort of giving the roses before the funeral instead of bringing them to the family afterwards, showing Jesus her love. Likewise, we also have very unique opportunities only afforded us in this life. We got to seize those opportunities. While we're on this side of heaven, this is the time to write checks and give money to God's work and share our valuable possessions to get the gospel out. This is the opportunity we have to help people who are struggling get into heaven by sharing the gospel with them.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you subscribe to his podcast at skipheitzig.com/podcasts.
For most children, the closest they come to the sounds of gunfire are their video games. For others, they're the noises right outside their door. We are the Army of Love.
Our mission is to help heal the lives of children around the world who are victims of terrorism.
By transforming spent bullets into brass charms, we arm little ones with hope. Purchase yours and be a soldier of love at ReloadLove.com.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yep.
Well, we've just lost our friendship in between the break.
Steve-O slapped me.
Sadness. Sad
Steve-O
day.
Spanked me.
Sad, sad day.
What's with you, man? Why are you hitting everybody?
Sorry, guys. It's the last Shock Therapy Live until fall. I just got to get my hits in until then.
This is not hitting
it's
on
friendship,
people.
Guys.
It's a different type of thing.
That's my friendship. I punch you in the face. It means I love you.
Hit drugs, not people.
Okay.
Yeah, punch them.
Wait. What?
Punch drugs.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. We are here. We are live. And you can call us up. 505-338-3700. We've got about 20 minutes left to show, so if you want to chime in, now's your time to shine. Producer Doug is hanging out, bored out of his mind. He's, like, surfing the web. He's, like, meeting new people on Facebook, and he is
making, like, hate posts on Facebook
right now. He really is. So if you would like to give him something to do,
if you'd like to cause him to stop sinning, then call.
That's right. 505-338-3700. We got some more emails we need to get to. If you want to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com.
We've got an email that points out a sin that we've all committed. Is it a lie, and hence a sin, to check the box that says you have read the terms of agreement if you have not read the terms of agreement? Mm. Sorry if the question seems silly. Anonymous.
I lie all the time, then. Do you ever really read the iTunes agreement?
No, I don't. But I mean, honestly, if we really look at it, yeah, that is a lie.
Yeah.
You say, I have read these terms of agreement, and you don't do it. It is a lie.
That's like a legal binding contract.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the South Park episode?
No.
No, because you never watched South Park.
No, of course not.
There is a South Park episode
hilarious
on this very thing.
Really?
Because it's like a 48-page terms of agreement, and all of a sudden Steve Jobs just shows up at like Cartman's house and take him because like this kidnapping like thing was in the terms of agreement. It's like, but you agreed to the terms of agreement. And then it goes into this big thing about how can you say yes if you have not read the terms of agreement? And there's all these crazy things in there. Like, kids start going missing. And like, it's really bad. No one should watch it. It's amazing. In a really awful way.
It happens.
Because it's true. We don't read those stupid things because it's like 32 pages.
Dude, I'm posting a thing on Facebook later on today about Christians who watch South Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
You should read it.
Cool, man.
I'm not going to read it.
It'll minister
to
you.
It'll probably be on an episode of South Park, though. I'll watch
it. It probably will. Yeah, it probably will. So,
well, who are you lying to in this situation? Are you lying to yourself and the computer?
I think you're lying to whatever the company is. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But
I don't know.
Does that mean, okay, now here's my rebuttal question. All right.
Is it wrong to lie?
No. My rebuttal question back. All right, anonymous question person who says, is it a lie / a sin to...
Have you murdered somebody?
To say you've read the terms of agreement when you haven't? Yes, it is. Now, are all of us going to start reading all the terms of agreement because we're convicted by that? No. Anyone? Anyone in here going to read the freaking terms of agreement?
I can't read. What am I supposed to do?
Pastor Nate, are you going to start reading the terms of agreement for everything before you say yes?
No.
Exactly! So what does that question do? Nothing!
It just makes me feel bad every time I click the box
now.
You're
like, sin.
He said sorry if it's a... And I guess if you really wanted to get into it is... Well, I don't know.
Hey, James...
It just seems
for
like
him who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
That's chapter 4, and that's my chapter, and you better not be reading my chapter.
If you know you should be reading the terms of agreement before you say yes because to you it is a sin, then start freaking reading the terms of agreement. Have at that. See you in 3 hours when you say yes.
Yeah, that's a weird question.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is. That's one of those like semantical things. It's kind of like...
legalism.
Or it's one of those questions, you know, like in your philosophy class where they're like, well, if God is this and this, can he make a rock too big
if
for him to pick up?
If you throw a rock in a woods and there's no one there, does it make a sound?
Yeah, it's
a tree falls.
I've got the perfect answer for that. Here's the thing. If you do a show like Shock Therapy Live and everyone's on summer break and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
No.
Nope.
Yes, it does, because we're all making sounds, right?
No, we're not.
Nope.
No, we're not.
We are making
noise. No one's listening to them, so there's
no sound. Thankfully, somebody is listening. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go to line one. Static!
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. My question is for Pastor Nate.
Yes.
Will you marry me?
What
Stop
was that?
It right now.
Who is this?
I think it's Janae.
Is it Janae? Janae. Is that you?
No.
This is the worst Minnie Mouse voice you've ever done.
Is this Hene Jaitzig? Is this Janae's evil twin, Hene Jaitzig?
I'm sorry.
Gosh!
I said no phone call.
Thank
you.
This is
the thing. You couldn't like keep it going. If you would have kept it going, but you were like, it's like you forgot what to say.
Respond completely differently.
Totally.
Is this Janae Jaitzig? I was like, no.
You
good
God. Okay.
You guys are flirting with each other over the phone.
This is the appropriate thing to do in that situation. I'm melting. That would have been the appropriate thing to do.
No, Janae, you need it. Here's your summer assignment. Work on your voices.
There you go.
Cuz I can totally tell it was you.
Before.
I immediately knew it was you.
Aww.
Fail. You gotta work on your voices.
Hello.
I was scared it was one of those crazy people that calls in and changes their voice.
Yeah.
Because we get some of those.
Yeah, we do. That's true. That's true.
And they think we don't know.
Okay, what's your question?
I asked it. Will you marry me?
But I already have.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not going to commit adultery on myself.
Oh. Wait,
with
what?
You?
Now we just.
If I marry you, but I've already married you, am I committing adultery on you with you?
This is easy. Poor old man.
I am just gonna. I want to punch myself.
No, this
so,
is just
well, we're
as
on,
important.
We're on semantical sins here.
Well,
so.
Okay, semantical sins.
Well,
all right.
What we're gonna hope
Perfect.
For is that people are gonna be listening and go, "Oh my gosh, it's come to this. She had to call in because they had no callers. Yeah. I'm gonna call in with a question."
Or that's they're gonna be like, "Thank God they're stopping for the summer."
Yeah. So here's the deal. So let's pretend like future Nate came back in time to stop this crazy thing from happening. Say there's robots that are about to take over. And so Nate has to come back in time.
Have you seen X-Men?
Of course. So this is my semantical question.
And I have to kill a midget?
if future Nate came back in time
to shoot a midget,
slept with Janae, would you be mad?
Oh man. And would I get killed by Sentinels?
Okay. This
because
this
it's
thing,
not technically you, it's you, but from the future. Yeah,
I guess
how's
it
that
depends.
For a stupid question.
I guess it depends what happens. If I'm like current Nate and I come home and I think that like, okay, I'm coming home from work and like future Nate is sleeping with current Janae and I walk in as current Nate and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna kill you, future Nate.
You can't. Oh,
well,
wait, you
no,
can.
I can. Because
he's future Nate.
Yeah.
Future Nate couldn't do anything back.
If future Nate tries to kill current Nate, then future Nate's screwed.
Two things, guys. You ready for this? Number one, this was the plot of an episode of that TV show American Dad, that cartoon. This happened.
No.
Yes, the future version of her husband came back and he was half cyborg.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. And then number two, there's a comic book I'm reading called Miracle Man about this dude that transforms into this superhero, and it's him. But he, as a superhero, slept with his wife, and she got pregnant, and then regular version of him comes back, and that's the dilemma he faces, is like, yeah, that's me, but it's not me. You slept with kind of me.
Gosh, Janae, thank you so much for the question.
I wish I had a better, more philosophical one, but
there you go.
I don't.
Thanks.
That's a pretty philosophical question.
Dude, I would so punch future Nate in the face.
You should, bro.
Hey!
Oh, future Nate, what a jerk.
Man.
I know.
Seriously.
Right. Dirtbag.
I was just trying to confess my love.
Jeez. Janae, if future Nate shows up, you just need to run.
Yeah, dude. Run, dude. Okay. He's not your man.
The only thing I've got going for me is future Nate might have less hair and might be 50 pounds heavier.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe.
Oh,
jeez.
That's not good for you.
That's what you have to look forward to, Janae. Boom. All right.
Booyah.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Later. Well, that was fun. It's semantics. Good. We want to thank the guy for chiming in with that ridiculous question about terms of agreement.
Well, then here's the other question. At that point, it's like future Nate, any harm I inflict to myself would also cause harm to future Nate.
There
because,
you go. Right.
So, like, I like walk in and I'm spying on him and I punch myself in the face and his face hurts and
boom.
I don't know.
It's a way to handle it. I don't know if it would instantaneously hurt.
See, this
him
is why time travel plots are stupid.
It did in Looper.
Oh, it did in Looper. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that movie.
See, that's what you would do.
Oh, but
it would be more than
just
hitting.
I feel like every movie that has any time travel plot should all talk to each other so that they, like, because time travel changes no matter what movie you watch. And it's like, wait a second.
Right.
Like, we've got to all be on the same page here because time travel gets kind of
convoluted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I know.
It's a good thing it's real and there's a definitive standard.
You know, there is a definitive standard. It's called Back to the Future.
There you go.
And that's really the standard for time travel movies.
Yeah.
It
if
should
you go
be.
Go back in time to try and make sure that your parents end up together so that they can make you, and they don't. That doesn't happen right away. Next thing you know, you're disappearing.
Yeah.
I mean, dilemma.
Totally. So
how,
go buy DeLorean.
How is this happening?
I don't know.
Shock Therapy Live.
Did you see that there's like a shout out to Back to the Future in A Million Ways to Die?
Mm-hmm. Which sucks because my boy saw the commercial on TV and said, we want to see it. And I'm like, yeah,
no.
Not happening. Maybe when you're 37,
zero
you can see
chance
that movie.
And even then, if I hear about it, I'm going
to
be
there's
mad.
There's a next to none chance you will ever see a Seth MacFarlane movie. By the way, Seth MacFarlane, thanks for making movies with trailers that my 8 and 10-year-old want to see.
Dude.
With Back to the Future references.
Oh,
and
my
a
gosh.
Freaking talking bear that's really cute.
Yeah, Janae and I were talking about this the other day. Like, in the heyday of, like, good comedy movies weren't rated R.
Yeah.
Remember, like, all the good Ben Stiller movies and all the good Will Ferrell movies? Like, they were all risky for the time. Like, I remember seeing Zoolander and seeing, like, Meet the Parents and being like, oh, my gosh, this guy's Gaylord Falker. Like, that's pushing
that's
the limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you go to these comedy movies. All comedy movies now are rated R, and they have F-bomb galore.
Yeah.
It's like, dude,
well, you
what happened?
Adam Sandler's career, we were talking about this.
Yep.
You know, we have seen the rise and fall of Adam Sandler, and most of his movies were PG-13, and now his movies just don't cut it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, they're
you
not
have,
funny.
Like,
they're like
Neighbors,
kids' comedies.
Yep. And you have A Million Ways to Die in the West. You have those kind of things. Cause,
and again, like in the heyday, like Happy Gilmore and
Dumb
Billy
and
Madison.
Dumber.
Well, those movies, I remember when those first came out, I wasn't allowed to see those movies.
Yeah, me either.
Like, those were considered, like, risky, like over the edge, like oh my gosh, I cannot believe this crude, crass, like young little kid, like, you know, this teenager is making these jokes on television or on the movies.
Yeah.
And now it's just
par for the course.
Oh my gosh. No, that's not even par. That's like
that would be like PG.
That's putt-putt golf.
Yeah, that's PG right
now. Putt-putt
golf. Gosh. Let's keep it going.
Stupid society.
Hopefully we don't get derailed. Here we go.
So stupid.
Derailed.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
So angry.
Hi, I was talking about Paul and Nero when Paul went to talk to Nero and the Holy Spirit convicted Paul, Nero, and how long did that last when they were doing that to the Christians? It's so hard to talk about.
I don't know. Do you guys know?
What just happened?
I think she was probably talking.
A real question.
She was probably talking to Doug about it.
Paul and Nero. When Paul.
Caesar. I appeal to Caesar.
Yes. How long did what happen?
How long?
Well, how long did they tar the. Well, when he said that you're light in the world, you know, the Christians are light in a dark world.
Uh-huh.
And what he did to the Christian, how long did that go on?
Oh, the persecution, like in ancient Rome?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was for a while.
Let me Wikipedia that for a second.
Don't Wikipedia
which,
medical
facts. By
the
way, I really feel like this is a Theology Thursday type question, producer Doug. But,
well, it lasted until Caesar Nero died.
Yeah.
His reign was 13 years, from October 13th of the year 54 to June 9th of the year 68. So 13 years would probably be a close guesstimate to how long it lasted.
Okay. There you go.
Man.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
Bye.
You. Can we talk about movies again?
No. You tell me all about this Nero stuff. I mean, where else are you going to go?
Well, so
though?
Nero, so he's this guy in this show that we watch called...
Nero's Pizza.
No, what's that?
No, you got it confused. He was the one that was working at this establishment, and
yeah.
they were like, Mr. Anderson, and he was like,
no.
I'm just a normal
no.
dude.
No,
and
no,
they were
no,
like,
no,
no, you're
that's
plugged in.
No.
And so, no? That's
Nemo.
Neo.
That's Nemo.
Oh, Neo.
That's
no,
Neo.
No, no, yeah,
Neo.
You're right.
Neo.
Yeah, it was the guy that got lost.
Fish.
He was a fish.
Yeah.
And
guys,
he got lost.
Where was little
no, no,
Nero's
he touched
pizza?
The butt. And wait, what?
Little Nero's
no, no.
pizza.
It was this guy.
Oh,
no, no, it
right.
was this. It was this guy who was dating this biker guy's mom, and he was like selling drugs and ran. Like it was that guy. That's who it was.
What?
How long did he persecute the Christians?
I'm trying to figure out where Little Nero's pizza is.
I thought that was wait.
Who? Home Alone.
Oh.
Home Alone was Little Nero's pizza.
And that is how you dismantle an actual conversation with film and television.
Oh.
Shock Therapy Ooh. Live, everyone. Oh, man. Oh. We do have questions at our email address, studio@mystaticradio.com. Do we want to try and take one more, like, real one?
No.
Oh, okay. Look at that. That's
nope.
the longest email
nope.
I've ever read in my entire life. Let's see what we got. Oh, no. Oh, that's good.
Do we have any other questions?
We had one more. We had one more on the STL. Boom! This sounds like a novel. All right, ready? I'm
going
to give you novel music and go.
Oh, nope. I don't want to read it. Nope.
Come on.
Just read it,
nope.
man.
Not going to do it.
Fine.
You can read it.
I'll read it. Is that the one about the girl that goes to the church and her husband?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we already talked. We already did that. We already did that.
Yeah.
We did that one.
Nate, I want you to know that we did that one because it's more of a theological question, and I read that whole thing on theology. I read that entire email on theology.
Were
Thursday.
You angry
it
after
took
reading it?
30 minutes to get through
man.
That email. Everybody fell asleep.
Like
I had to wake Beenix up.
Longer than Harry Potter.
We just got another yeah. question on through the email studio@mystaticradio.com. If you would like to chime in, if you'd like to hang out with us, or give us a call, 505-338-3700.
We got a question, but again, another theological question.
See, and I have never even heard of that.
Neither have I.
What is it? What is it?
What do you think of the Evangelical Covenant Church? I meant denomination instead of church. Sorry, you just sent a rebuttal.
Yeah, I guess that's
okay.
going to be. That's
that was
be.
Great. That was like a real conversation. Like, I asked the question, and then right afterwards, another one popped up. I mean, the denomination instead of church.
I would be interested to know what their thoughts are. Because I don't
yeah.
know what the Evangelical Covenant
let's,
Church is.
Let's keep playing this game of
yes.
me talking, then you send another email.
Yes, yeah, send another email.
What do you think about
well,
the Evangelical Covenant Church? I mean denomination.
It's an evangelical Christian denomination of more than 800 congregations and an average worship attendance of 178,000 people in the U.S. and Canada. It was founded in 1885 by Swedish immigrants. The church is now one of the most rapidly growing and multi-ethnic denominations in North America. Historically Lutheran in theology and background, it's now broadly evangelical.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, in the meantime, we got a real Shock Therapy Live question, so let's take that.
Okay.
Hello, guys. This may not be the right place or show to bring this up, but my wife and I are at our wit's end. We have our 16-year-old son that we are struggling with. Don't get me wrong, he's a great kid, well-grounded, and we love to death. other than the usual, like social media, gaming, texting, etc., is a great kid. Here is our struggle. He is not making an effort to do his best in his schoolwork. We just got his grades, and they are not what they should be. I say this because his grades for the first semester were great A's and B's. This year, almost all C's, one D. Again, we know he is capable of so much more as far as putting more effort on his schoolwork. Again, I know this may not be the place to ask this question. I would like someone to shock him into understanding that he needs to do this best. I know he is getting tired of us telling him, please help.
That's a great place for shock.
That's a great place for that question.
That's perfect.
Cattle prods.
Stop him right now. They're available.
Shock him into good grades.
Those are widely available out here in the Southwest.
Mm. See, now my boys are 8 and 10, and, you know, little Broads obviously is not in school yet. Your kids aren't in school yet.
No, he's in preschool.
So this is a tough one to answer with, a 16-year-old because we don't have teenagers yet.
Yeah.
So I can't speak to the teenager heart, and I don't know what has caused the grades to slip or anything like that. Because for my boys right now, we are constantly affirming the behavior we want to see in them. And so both of them are excelling in school right now because they desire to. Because it's a good thing for them, and they know that with good grades come good school,
Other good things, better colleges.
We're already talking to Jack and Luke about college. They're fully aware. Jack did testing this last week before school came out. You know, they always do those like advanced placement type testing, and I'm bragging now. I'm just being a bragging
Let's all clap for Steve-O and his great kids.
Too bad we can't have that. 10-year-old, post-high school.
Whatever.
So, honestly, I can speak to what my parents did. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I think that you reward good behavior and good grades, and then if those good behaviors and good grades don't continue, you take away those rewards.
Right.
So I remember, you know, when I was 15, I took driver's ed, and my parents said, look, you can drive this car that we bought you, we'll pay your insurance, and you can do all that as long as you have good grades. If your grades slip, then we're going to take your car away, and we'll drive you to school and drop you off in the front, and you can see all your friends who get to drive to school, and that's what you'll get to do each morning.
Wow.
And so, I think you take those – so you talk about social media, texting, gaming. You let them know, hey, these are all privileges that we pay for you to get involved in, and we pay for you to enjoy. But if your grades slip, guess what? Those privileges get taken away.
It's a lot of work. Being a parent is a lot of work, but you have to be intentional, and I think those are conversations you have to have.
Yeah.
Maybe whether it is the cell phone or the different things that you have, you can have these tiered things. My boys have jobs, and come summertime, the jobs are going to take a step up because they have more free time.
And you need some extra money.
We expect more from them right now. Of course, Little League, they got playoffs starting tonight. What are you doing? I know you got service. It's the first night of playoffs, buddy. Playing the Dodgers.
Dude, Angels are doing well.
Yeah, I know. So you got to affirm the behavior that you want. As you said, you reward them for doing well. And gosh, it just sounds like this motivation thing. For me,
When your kid wants their car, they will get good grades.
They will do well.
Now, you have to tier that, though, because it can't be like, they're like, oh, crap, I got bad grades for a whole semester now. I don't have a car. So what I remember my parents did is, hey, if there was a particular class I was struggling in, they said, we're going to keep in contact with your teacher, and we're going to ask your teacher on a week-by-week basis, how is he doing in this subject? Do you feel like he's getting the hang of it? Yeah. And if I was showing progress and showing that I was actually trying, then I got those privileges back in time. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to, work out a system to where you can keep in contact with their school, their teachers, so that they know, man, I'm not just like totally out of a car now for a whole semester, but man, I can work towards getting this back.
Yeah. Dude, when I was a kid, I realized those things. And if you're a smart kid, you will like honor your parents' rules, because all through high school, if I was going to be a minute late, I called, gave the reason. I was always on time, totally did that. And then when I was a senior in high school, like my curfew got totally removed.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, right. And then you went crazy.
Joined a band.
It's just I understood the responsibility of the situation. But I was a goody-two-shoes kid. I wasn't out there doing crazy stuff. But it worked out really well.
Man, I bet your parents are so disappointed now.
They hate me. Gosh, my mom hates me.
The phone lines are jammed. Do we have anybody contributing to this conversation? Line 2.
She loves me.
Thank you, producer.
She loves me.
Shock Therapy Live,
this is a question about Caesar Nero,
I'm warning you. This is a parent. Hello.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What up?
Yo.
Hey, it's so funny because it just reminds me of the situation me and my wife are in with my son. He's 15, sophomore in high school, and he takes AP classes, and my daughter takes AP classes, and she's 12. my son, until ninth grade, he did excellent. But this year, he kind of started slacking off. And, you know, he wasn't really doing his homework. He was, like, telling us he did it and telling us that the teacher said this. Or, you know, he says the teachers are idiots. He's like, he goes to a public school, you know, so it's like.
Right.
He just thinks he's a super smart dude, man. Computer, he's taking computer science and all. He knows what he wants to do. But this year, he just, and we had a talk, and a real serious talk, you know, and he's 6 foot. He's bigger than me, so, you know, I had to sit him down. And, you know, I just explained to him how important school was, because I didn't graduate. I didn't go to college. I got my GED later in life, but, I mean, you're just, the opportunities, the doors are closed. More doors are closed when you're not excelling in your schooling and learning and getting educated. And, so what we did is we got all his teachers together and we had a meeting and we sat down and the teachers really, you know, opened his eyes and told him, hey man, the way you're going, you know, it counts now. And he's a junior high with junior high and elementary and all, but high school really counts. You know, he's taking college courses and he just, and one of the teachers, you know, he said it perfectly. He just said, you know, sometimes the kids in high school, man, most of them are going to go through a slump, you know. The first year is excitement, you know, the second year is kind of like, you know what I mean? Then juniors, you know, you get excited again because you know you're going to be a senior next year. But he's a super smart kid, super good grades, until this last year. Huh. And it's just, I think you really need to get involved with the teachers, and be on their bus, man, because if you, any slack you give them, they're going to take it.
You know, I think also part of that, there comes a certain point once you're in high school, you know, the first year of high school is scary. It's like all these kids and, you know, you're scared about having friends. But once you have your group of friends, high school for a lot of kids becomes more important about their friends and
social
like the high
status.
School scene than actually doing good in high school.
Right.
And so I think that's why if you can affect that and let them know, look, your grades and your performance in high school affects your social status. So, you know, if they're doing bad, let them know, okay, cool. I'm going to, you know, you've got to call your friends and say, hey, I can't hang out because I have bad grades and I've got to stay home.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a certain point they're like, man, if I find that my grades are going to affect my social status and my friends and the time I get to spend with them, well, then the motivation to do well becomes great.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, man, I just wanted to chime in and just let that person know that, you know, I mean, just stay positive and just be involved in his life and have conversations with the kids. You know, you got to conversate with your kids, man.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Question, have you tried the cattle prod method?
No, usually I teach him some chokes.
Okay, that's good.
You know what I mean? And he's got it down on me, too, so it's hard for me to get out of his, but if I get him first, we're good.
Yeah.
Good.
I find karate is a good
beautiful
method.
The great equalizer.
There's
if you will.
An order to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and then I love holding his arms down and then calling our little terrier dog, Sandy,
that's
to come
good.
On over and just lick them up.
That's good.
That's good.
That's
I like
good.
That. Good mentality there.
See, I have my wife hold their arms down, and I tap their chest repeatedly.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
stop
my
it.
God. All right, guys. I got to go, man.
All right. Later, man.
Love you, too, man.
You know, one we haven't talked about, too, is waterboarding. That's super effective.
You know what my dad used to do to me? And it was a joke.
It worked for the Army.
He totally used to do it. Sometimes my dad would pin. We'd be, like, wrestling, and he'd pin me down, and he'd do the loogie thing.
Oh, God.
I was like, no. But it was a joke.
Thinking at 16,
you know,
probably.
It wasn't like...
Putting them in cages and playing Neil Diamond in dark rooms works, too.
I love Neil
Diamond. Yeah, like, if America came on, I'd bust out of that cage.
But if you were locked in a cage in a dark room and heard it blaring for 6 hours, would you still like
maybe,
it?
I don't know.
I'd probably be a better singer.
Yeah.
And you'd come out of it having a weird desire to wear sparkly shirts.
Yeah.
This is how we end Shock Therapy Live for the summer, so.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Just deep, guys. Going deep.
Dude.
Going deep.
Oh.
So that's
felt
it.
Good.
We'll be back in the fall. Throughout the summer, we'll be doing special things during the 9 o'clock hour. So keep it locked. 2-Team Awesome Morning Party. Nate, we love you.
No, you don't.
I do, bro.
I'm going to Facebook.
Okay.
I'm going to my real friends.
That's fine. I'm going to like it. I'm going to bug you.
Nope, I'm unfriending you. I'm blocking you.
Oh, bad.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.